So, Tony Duncan, thanks for coming in. Hoop dancing has always fascinated me. It fascinated me in different ways as I grew up. When you're a little kid and you see someone do what you can do with a bunch of rings, it's all about the athleticism. And then it doesn't take too long before you realize how synchronized and how elegant it is. And then you get the metaphor at some point. You start to see the circles within circles of the stories mm-hmm. that are happening. Your own life, you began, I mean, you're playing Native American flute now, but you started as a dancer, and your dad was a dancer. Is that where the family tradition began, was with your father?
Yeah, everything actually for me started at a very young age, watching and helping my father do songs, helping my father make flutes, being kind of my father's apprentice. He taught me how to hoop dance also when I was 5 years old, and it's really, really nice the way you were talking about the hoop dance there. I've always thought the hoop dance, it's always been my favorite dance to do. I dance a couple different styles of native style of dancing. But hoop dance has been something for me that's very unique it combines two words that you probably wouldn't put together when you think of any type of a dance or such. It combines the word of maybe exciting with spiritual. And you don't really think of those two words together, but it's a dance that's very exciting. You can jump through the hoop really fast. You can roll it across your back. You can make the world with it, throw it up, turn around, catch it, and make the eagle, make the butterfly. But at the same time, it represents so many things in our spiritual way as a Native people. It talks about bon sen, the circle of life. In Apache, we say bon sen, that means changing. All of life is in constant motion. We begin life to the east as children. We move clockwise from the east to the south, to the west, to the north, as children, adolescents, adulthood, and then into our grandparents, honoring each direction. And then we don't stop there. We move again to the east, and we go back to the spirit world. And so it represents the circle of life, represents honoring all things in life, represents honoring also the seasons of our lives. You know, the springtime is in the east, and then we move again clockwise to the south, the summertime, the west, the fall, changing of the leaves, and then to the north is the storytelling, traditional time of storytelling, which is the winter time. And then the snow starts to melt again, all the small flowers start to blossom, and we move back to the east, and spring begins again. And so it's a philosophy as Native people that we believe in honoring the circle of life and honoring those cycles within the circle.
When you think of other cultures, the dancing is there, and there are those cultures where dancing is telling stories. But I don't know of a tradition where all of the people's reality, informing their children, their older people, and telling the stories that they want to pass on, and maybe what just happened. I don't know of a tradition that's quite so elegant as this. And yet, when I look at it now, I think of when you hear the chanting going on and the drums when you're dancing. And what kind of different things can happen when you're dancing? What is the sound that you might hear?
Oh, yeah. Well, the style of dance that I'm going to be sharing this weekend is the hoop dance. And the hoop dance, they use our traditional powwow drums. And they say before you come into this world, when you're within the womb, within your mother, for those first 9 months, you hear her heartbeat. And that heartbeat fills you with the sense of comfort. It fills you with a sense of security. It fills you with what we call good medicine, just a good feeling, good energy, happiness. And then after those 9 months are done, you come into this world. We want to always have that same feeling of happiness. And so we use our powwow drums. Our drums represent the heartbeat. Once again, it represents the heartbeat, but the heartbeat of our Mother Earth. And in Apache, we say Inagustan. Inagustan, it means our Mother Earth. And so that's what the drum that I dance to represents. It represents the heartbeat of the people, the heartbeat of Mother Earth, and the heartbeat of all living things. And so it's a very powerful instrument that we use today. And it's, of course, all the words that we say in our songs, they're either talking about the dancer, or they're talking about maybe the dance that they're doing, or even there's vocables in it, kind of like jazz. Yeah. And when they kind of can freestyle with the jazz, with the vocables that they use. I'm not sure, is it scat or what they call it? We do kind of the same thing in a Native way. And some of those powwow songs where you can, the singer himself, kind of almost a little bit of a freestyle, but they use their vocals to express themselves. And so all the songs that we do, whether it's expressing yourself in those sounds, or whether it's actual words that we're talking about, the actual dance, or even creation stories that we're talking about. But everything definitely does have a meaning, a purpose. As a Native people, or our songs, dances, they all tell stories.
Wait, how much freedom do you have as a dancer? When you're doing the hoop dance and I see you doing wings, you take, it looks like maybe four in each arm, and you somehow manage to hold them and keep them steady, and I can tell what you're doing. I'm not sure which bird it is because I'm not privy, but how much freedom do you have, and what can I do now? Or is there a tradition that you do these things and you figure out how to do them yourself?
I think that exactly is the beauty of hoop dancing. Hoop dance is different from a lot of types of dances, where hoop dancing takes many forms. Hoop dancing is just as different as each individual dancer that dances the hoop dance. And so you might have a hoop dancer that's very fast, very energetic, that uses only five hoops. And I love those types of hoop dancing. But I also, when I see the next hoop dancer that comes up, and he has maybe about 40 hoops, but he does designs and movements that are so fluid, that looks so smooth, and it's so unique. And you can make up your own designs. You can, like you mentioned, you're not sure what bird it is. Sometimes the dancer himself isn't sure exactly the bird, because I do a bird that I make lower, on the lower part of my body, and for me that represents the hawk, the lower flying, our lower flying birds. And then I put the eagle up on top when I use four on each side. And for me, that represents the eagle, just because the eagle flies higher, and the eagle is the one that carries our messages, our prayers, up to the Creator. And so there's so much creativity, you know, that each dancer can use. And that's what I love about hoop dancing. There's no exact boundaries. There are specifics, you know, like I haven't seen hoop dancers, you know, light hoops on fire or anything. Although my sister-in-law did a type of thing where she lit part of it on fire, or did something type of a unique thing to start off their hoop dance, which was pretty cool. But I've seen hoop dancers, and myself, I've used LED hoops. I've danced with an artist named Nelly Furtado, and she made these custom LED hoops, taking hoop dance to even another level of type of theatrics. And so hoop dancing is just a dance that celebrates life. So it started off in a way of healing, but now it's just really a way of celebrating one's love for life, and also a way for each dancer to kind of express themselves through movement, through dance, just like any other type of modern dance that you might see, whether it's ballet or anything classical like that. It's a way of expression as well.
When I watch you and others dance, and I've only seen you on YouTube, I'll admit that, but it seems like there's usually a way that the dancer, I don't know, we might say asserts, introduces, mm-hmm. or welcomes the crowd. And there's usually something involving a ring or a couple of rings. And when you do it, it's at least what I saw online was, I think it's 2011. Mm-hmm. There's a motion you do that every kid likes to do. You take the ring and you skip it out, and it goes way out there and comes back because you flipped it backwards. But it's almost like you're introducing the hoop. Was that your idea, or was it just, I'm going to be doing something with this object?
Oh, yeah. For me, one thing that I've always loved to do is once the hoop leaves your hand, that's the exciting part to the audience. Because one thing you're doing also, as you mentioned, the video that you're talking about is the video from the World Championship Hoop Dance Contest.
Which you won, we should say.
Yeah. So every time the hoop kind of leaves your hand, I've always known, because I love watching hoop dancers myself, not just to dance it, but that's when it gets kind of exciting, because you know that it could not come back, or maybe they could drop it, you know? And so that's something that I always like to do right off the bat, is to do something that's kind of catches the eye, and like you said, introduces yourself as a hoop dancer, or like kind of throwing it way up in the air, or maybe like rolling it across my back or something like that, just to kind of engage the audience and bring them in, and then start the kind of the storytelling after that.
One of the things you'll be doing at the Pueblo Grande Museum is a master class. What are you calling it?
It's called Hoop Dance 101. It's I'm gonna be teaching the all the way from the youngest hoop dancers all the way to our elders. I've been hoop dancing for a huge part of my life. I kind of don't even fully remember not dancing. I just was brought into the dance arena when I was very young, and then hoop dancing when I was about five, and I'm 31 now, and so I've been just hoop dancing constantly all the time. And so now I feel like I'm reaching a point where I really want to teach hoop dancing because so many people ask me. And before that, you know, when I was in my 20s, I didn't really know if I was gonna really wanting to teach this and that. But I really feel like it's a calling now that I'm a father. I have two daughters and one son, and my oldest is 5, and Naichi's 3, and my daughter Natanis has just turned 2. And so now I feel like I'm a teacher. And so I started to do a lot of teaching hoop dance workshops, and it's so much fun, but at the same time, it's a huge, teaches a lot. One thing that I'm really, really big on is living your life in balance, because the hoop represents balance, living your life in balance. And myself, I'm drug and alcohol free, and that's something that I always like to teach all of my classes, of living your life in balance and keeping your life moving in that healthy way of life. And that traditional way, we call it living your life on the red road. And it's something that I also teach through hoop dancing.
Mm-hmm. And some symbolism there, too. You're teaching, but you have your own children who, do they all have hoops yet?
Oh, yeah. All of them do, yeah.
So the circle there goes on, too, from your dad to you and now you to them. And but there's another part of your career. I won't call it a career. It's a life. It's what you do, but it's your life's calling, and that's the music part, which you said your dad was a flutist, and now you are, mm-hmm. or always have been, I guess. Was that unusual that your father did both? Was it pretty common that the dancers are musicians too?
It's fairly common. I think a lot of the really, really great dancers that I know that I can think of, they're also great singers. They sing with powwow drum groups, or they even pick up other instruments, whether it be a guitar or any type of other music as a way to express themselves. Usually, if you're really into dance or that type of form, you want to express yourself in another way, and it's my way is through music. And so, yeah, I grew up just being at the side of my father. We go to schools, making flutes for a lot of children with the different artists and residency programs. And so my father taught me how to make flutes, how to play them, how to tune them. And then right out of high school is actually when I really got engaged in making music. My first album I did was right after I graduated from Westwood Warriors, Westwood here. And so right after I graduated from Westwood, I did my first album, and now just finishing up my latest album is my 10th album with Canyon Records out of Phoenix, Arizona. So I've been with Canyon for quite some time now. I've done 5 albums with Canyon Records, and my latest album is called Singing Lights, Native American Flute, myself with my good buddy Darren Yazzie. He's on the acoustic guitar, and we're going to be doing music off of that latest album at the Pueblo Grande Market.
That's a name some folks are going to be familiar with, Yazzie. That's that's gonna. So you'll be playing at Pueblo Grande. What are you going to be? What are we going to hear you play?
We're going to be doing a lot of songs that come from my father's stories, and so like Singing Lights. That's actually a term that we call the stars. There's a story that talks about how the stars were created a long time ago, and they say that the stars are the ones that help the moon when the moon becomes very tired. That she starts off in the beginning as a full, nice, bright moon, and then she becomes tired and becomes half of what she started off as, then a quarter of what she started off until she's a small sliver. And it was at that time when all the small creatures in the night started to pray to the Creator, because they started to bump into one another, and they lost their trail home, and their arrows weren't hitting their targets. And so they wanted to feed their families, and they prayed to the Creator, and the Creator came down and blessed these beautiful stones that were on the bottom of a river, and those stones became stars. They became the singing lights, and so he put them up into the night sky, and they would sing songs when the moon would become very small, when she became very tired. And so when she was almost a small sliver, you could no longer see too much of the moon, and then they would sing beautiful songs, and they would light up the all of Mother Earth at that time. And so that's the title of my album. It's called Singing Lights. They come from different stories that my father told me growing up. Those stories became songs.
Now I have to know, were those your dad's stories, or were those traditional stories he grew up with?
Oh yeah, those are all stories that he grew up with. My father's first language is Apache, in Apache, so he grew up listening to the stories all in Apache, and then he translates them out to English, and we do a lot of storytelling that way too. And so I grew up listening to Matsonsen stories, their stories of the coyote. I grew up listening to different stories about how things were created, the saguaro cactus, how many different things were created here upon Mother Earth, Apache stories, and even stories that come from different other tribes too. My father, being a storyteller, traveled to many different festivals, and they did a lot of trading with the different stories as well. And so a lot of the stories that I grew up, they just became little songs and little melodies, and that I was able to put on my albums. And so the Singing Lights is one of those stories.
Trading stories, you know, that's the way we should all grow up. You know, you're trading stories and learning from each other. And it's that time of year, too, where all get out the habits of our hearts. And for some of it's hanging, English garland and that kind of thing. But we need to be reminded of all the stories there are, and it's not just the ones we have. And there's something about so many of the myths that, and I use that word in the best possible way, the things that inform our hearts about where we are and who we are. So many of them are just so gorgeous, so beautiful, in the elegance of the story that you just told about the stars helping the moon at night. That's the best way to understand the planet. You know, we've lost track of that. So how long will we be playing? A set, are you gonna be playing for a while, or?
Yeah, actually, I'm going to be doing music, dance, and my wife is going to be doing a lot of storytelling. She's going to be doing her father, my wife, and me. We actually met at a festival just like Pueblo Grande Market, an Indian market, and her family, and she was also brought up the same way I was. So she's a storyteller as well, and a traditional dancer, woman's fancy shawl dancer. So she's going to be dancing to some of the music I'll be playing, but she's also going to be doing storytelling while I'm doing my hoop dance workshops. And so there's going to be a village, I believe they call it the Kiam, and they're going to be having, there's going to be music there, there's going to be storytelling there, and also different arts and crafts that you can also kind of do, a lot of hands-on activities that are going to be there at the Pueblo Grande Market. But so I'll be doing music and dance storytelling throughout the whole weekend, and pretty much all day. You can catch either my hoop dancing, some of my music, some of the stories, or if you don't catch me, then you'll catch a bunch of other awesome music, dance, and stories throughout the whole weekend.
When you mentioned the Hoop Dance 101, mm-hmm. the class, is that open to people just to come and watch you do? Because, you know, my knees gave out a long time ago, but if people just wanted to come, because that would be fun to see people learn and hear, I'm assuming, hear some of the significance of why they're doing what you're telling them to do.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's really important for people to hear a little bit of the backstory or the reason why we do a lot of our dances. One thing that a lot of people, they see native dancing, or maybe they hear the flute, and they think it's something that's beautiful, but that's just very, very the surface of it. There's the meaning behind all of what we do, and that's something that I really like to share. Like the flute, it's a beautiful instrument, but there's so many other beautiful instruments out there, maybe a piano, the guitar, but the flute was actually used in our traditional way as a way to teach the men to have respect for the women, the young men. And so it was used as a courting instrument. You would play a song for a young woman. You'd have enough respect for her to go and compose a song from your heart for her. And then you would play that song for her. And if she enjoyed your music, you know, then she would come and speak with you. And so it was a way to show that respect. And so it was a teaching tool, not only just a beautiful instrument. And so there's a lot of things like that, like the hoop, what it represents. Very energetic, awesome dance, but it's a dance that comes from the Taos Pueblo people from New Mexico. A dance that actually is started off as a way of healing. And still today, it's so done in that way because people that watch it, and when they leave with a smile, it's a way of healing in that way as well. Whenever you dance, you're dancing for the people to bring them a smile and to change their state of mind, maybe from the lot of things that are going on in the world today. And so then when we go and we watch these beautiful dancing, the beautiful music, and we hear the meaning behind everything, it all talks about having respect for the circle of life, respect for our women, respect for our elders, and it leaves you with what we call good medicine, and it leaves you feeling happy and walking out with a smile. And so that's what's going to be going on at the Pueblo Grande Indian Market.
We could all use some good medicine. I don't know how I've lived to be this old and not heard the story about the flute. You know, I'm just thinking about the poor guy who just couldn't get the flute. You just end up being alone the rest of your life, maybe.
Yeah, that's why I have a lot of flutes. Yeah.
So the music you play is by and large, is it original?
A lot of the music that I play, it's composed by myself and Darren Yazzie, or myself, Jeremy, Dancing Bull. I worked together with two other artists a lot of my music. But a lot of it also is traditional songs, like Zuni Sunrise, Taos Round Dance, some Apache back and forth dances, social dancing, round dances, two-step owl dance, rabbit dance. A lot of the songs that I play, maybe the melody of it will come from an old traditional song, and then I'll maintain that melody, and Darren Yazzie will come in on an acoustic guitar, and he'll play the same type of chord progressions that would match that. And so we do some of our traditional songs, but kind of make them a little bit contemporary style. And then, but the majority of them are songs that we composed kind of inspired by those stories that I mentioned from my father.
Any melodies that you can play without Yazzie being here?
Oh, yeah.
Because you've got him sitting here. Can we get you just...
Sure,
even a few seconds would be fantastic.
Sure. That actually is something just for today. Maybe K-Bach, I don't know.
So just improvising.
Just improvising, yeah. Something just for today. And a lot of flute players always say, you know, is that song will never be played again. And so that time, it's a very special song.